Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Listening to Blue Jays Nation Radio
with Cam Lewis and Tyler Yaremchuk,
a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts and delivered by DoorDash.
Welcome in. Turn that down a little bit. Episode 90 of Blue Jays Nation Radio. Tyler and Coomzy with you to talk about the Jays losing another series, and not just the Jays losing another series, but the Jays sliding further down the American League East standings. Toronto now sits fourth, Coomzy.
That's what they said. They said last year was just the preview, and this is the movie. They finished fourth in the American League East last season. They're now in fourth again this season. And maybe that's just how it's going to play out. Maybe that's just life, and that's perfectly fine. They're going to slide into the sixth playoff spot in the American League. Yeah. Sounds okay, right?
It's very annoying, man. They are still tied for a playoff spot, right? Because they're technically tied with the Rays. So there's that, you know, they're in a playoff spot. That's good. But again, it's wildly disappointing for a team that we had visions of being a World Series contender. And this isn't me saying they aren't. I still think they are. I think they have that potential. But when you go into a year as World Series contenders, just being tied for one of the, you know, middle of the ground wildcard spots is not exactly how we envisioned the first few months of this season going.
Yeah, we all thought that the Blue Jays were going to have the Yankees season or something like that, where they were just going to shoot out of a cannonball and then, you know, explode their way to winning the division. But we are all unfortunately being reminded yet again that the baseball season is a roller coaster ride, and we're again in one of these little dips. And it comes kind of with shitty timing, because you would have liked to have seen the Jays go better than 2-4 on that stretch against even teams that are like good, not great. They're fine. Milwaukee and Chicago, they're fine. But now you have 8 games coming up against the Rays and the Red Sox. The Red Sox are probably the hottest team in baseball right now. And the Rays, you know, they're the Rays, they're good. So this is, you know, we're obviously nowhere near being able to like write the team off by any stretch of the imagination at all whatsoever. It's fucking June, but this could be a really bad stretch. I mean, like you said, like the Red Sox have jumped them in the standings. They're tied with the Rays, 8 games coming up. They got to pull it together quickly here.
Yeah, they really do. And it is concerning when you look at the schedule ahead. We'll get into that in just a second here. But first, we'll get into 3 Up, 3 Down. As always, this pod is brought to you by DoorDash. Promo code BJANPODDD gets first time users of the app 25% off and no delivery fees. Shout out to DoorDash. Let's start with the downs. Coomzy, we're starting with sure. The 3 downs, and we'll go to, okay, they won game 1 of this series, and it was kind of like, all right, like you got the first win out of the way. We said on our last pod that you had to win the game that Manoah started. They did their job, and they go into the second one against Burns, and it was kind of like, okay, we're expecting them to lose this game. Okay, turns out they didn't really have to lose that game. They lost by 1 run. They got the tying run to the dish in the 9th. They probably could have won that game, but Yusei Kikuchi was bad once again. And what I found, yeah, we'll go with that. Yusei Kikuchi is bad.
Yusei Kikuchi, yeah, you're not wrong. I mean, that's pretty much it. The looking back at his game log here, it's been just under 1 month now since Kikuchi cleared 5 innings in the start. There was a nice stretch in May. He pitches well against the Yankees, pitches well against the Yankees again a few days later, pitches really well against the Mariners, his former team, whatever start against Cincy, fine start against LA, and it's fallen off a cliff since then to a point where it's hard to say if Kikuchi's going to get his next start, because he'll line up against the Rays. And I don't know, do you want to trot him out there against the Rays? Max Castillo was, I guess, the star of the game on Saturday. Pitches four innings and strikes out seven guys. He had unbelievably good numbers in the minors this year, double and triple A. So, I mean, at this point, why not just see what he can do over four or five innings? Maybe do him and Trent Thornton piggyback, because Trent Thornton suddenly your bullpen ace. Like, do you want to keep tossing Kikuchi out there? Does he have to go on the injured list with left arm shittiness in order to figure out how to throw strikes?
Yeah, like, and especially with that start coming against the Rays, like, do you really want to mess around and take the chance that Yusei Kikuchi is going to find his game against a division opponent? I really don't. But at the same time, I am also like, do you really want to throw Max Castillo out there for a game against the Rays? Like, I don't know.
Honestly, I would. You would? I would rather just go with the pitcher the Rays haven't seen and just hope for the best.
And even if he gets you through the order once, you're just fine with it?
Yeah. Yeah, they're just going to have the shuttle to Buffalo ready for that five-game set against the Rays. Five games in 4 days against the Rays. There's going to be guys going and coming from Buffalo in like a rotation. So they're going to be ready for that. It's going to be a deep bullpen series.
Five games in 4 days against the Rays. Good Lord.
What a nightmare. Thank God that's not at the Trop. Could you imagine?
I was literally just going to say, thank God we don't have to watch four straight long days of baseball at the Trop.
Ooh, that's a playoff series, man.
That would have been automatically a down for this episode. Gross. Just knowing it's coming in a few series, it would have made it down. The second down we have is Montoyo's comments about Kikuchi, which I found really, really interesting, because Montoyo isn't really a guy who does this a lot. He'll usually come out and just, you know, say they're looking at things, or he doesn't go after guys, is the point I'm trying to make. He kind of went after Yusei Kikuchi, saying he hasn't pitched well and he put us in a tough spot today. Like, maybe from some managers, you'd sit there and be like, ah, that's just the way they are. With Charlie, that's a little out of character, and I think really shows the frustration they feel towards how Kikuchi's pitching.
Yeah, the Jays have had pretty much everyone put up a stinker so far this year, with Alek Manoah being the one guy who hasn't. I mean, Gausman's had some bad outings. Ryu struggled before he ultimately had his arm issue. You know, they've all had a bad time. Barrios, that's he's had a few different stinkers now. And Charlie never says anything. He never comes out and he's like, oh, you know, Jose Barrios, he let us down today. He didn't go deep. And, you know, he's done that like four or five times this year. So, I mean, I'm not criticizing Charlie for doing it. I just think it's interesting. It's notable that Kikuchi is the guy who kind of got singled out here. And that's why I personally wouldn't be at all shocked if maybe he goes in the bullpen and tries to figure it out. I don't think he's going to be much of a weapon for the team there, but it just stops him from starting and giving them these kinds of games. And you have Castillo, Thornton, Thomas Hatch from AAA, somebody else ago. It just kind of seems like that based on the comments.
Kikuchi will end up being what we thought Ross Stripling was, and Ross Stripling has ended up being what we thought Yusei Kikuchi was. Fair?
Sure. That'd be ideal. I mean, we've seen Kikuchi do it for a short period of time there in May. I mean, he didn't get signed to a 3-year, $36 million deal for no reason. There is a pitcher there. The frustration is clearly there from the Jays. So you have to wonder, are they recommending he do something with his pitching that he's not doing? Is there some kind of rift?
Maybe.
Or some kind of challenge there, perhaps? Who knows? But Charlie is outwardly pissed about Kikuchi, and that much is very clear.
Yeah. You mentioned Barrios. He is our third down. He gives up 8 earned in that start against the Brewers. In his last 6 2/3 innings, he's now allowed 14 earned runs, 17 hits. He's walked 3 batters and only struck out 2. He's been tagged with a loss in back-to-back starts. It's been a long time since Jose Barrios was a winning pitcher, which I know is a garbage stat, but I'm here to tell you they aren't winning games when one of their expensive arms is on the bump. And that is not a recipe for success, no matter how you dice it.
Yeah, the Kikuchi thing isn't overly surprising. I think we all kind of knew, even when he did sign, it's decently big money, it's $12 million a year, but still, like with Tanner Rourke, you know that when you're getting back into the rotation arm like this, they're going to have some bad games, but you don't really expect this from Barrios. It's shocking because he had a really nice 3-game stretch there against the Twins, Tigers and Orioles. And then he goes and completely implodes against the White Sox and now the Brewers. And those aren't teams that have unbelievably strong lineups. I mean, the Brewers are a team that Jose Berríos dominated when he was with the Twins before the trade. He, I think it was over two starts, he struck out 21 guys and only allowed a few hits. And it's like, that's a team that he had dominated in the past. And he's just not really looked like that guy this year. And I think, I mean, Berríos is one guy where you expect him to kind of come around, but given the way things are going and the fact that the Jays just aren't really getting consistently good starts from just about anybody other than Alek Manoah and Ross Stripling at this point, Gausman's here and there, Berríos is all over the grid. You, all of a sudden, your top need by far at the trade deadline is a starting pitcher.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, I go back and forth on this again, because it's like, okay, if Berríos figures it out, you have three solid arms and Stripling's going, like, you should be able to make the playoffs with that. And once you get to the playoffs, you're running with four starters. So who gives a shit about Kikuchi as your fifth guy? But the longer this goes, the more it's kind of like, yeah, okay, not only, and it's not going to be one or the other. It's going to be a question of, do they just get bullpen help, or do they go get bullpen help and an impact arm?
Yeah, that's the challenge.
They're not in a position where they have to choose. They have a deep enough farm system and deep enough pockets to go make both meaningful additions.
Yeah, it's just kind of frustrating, though, because you came into the season thinking the rotation was going to be a strength, and it really hasn't been. Yeah. So now you have to go and use some top prospects to go and get a starting pitcher. If things don't even out in the next month, Berríos could settle down and look fantastic. That'd be great. Very possible. But you might wind up having to use your best prospects to get a starter, which means you have less to go and fill your other needs. You know, everyone knows the bullpen's a need. It would also be very nice to go and acquire a left-handed hitter. But if you have to pay a lot to get a starter, it's hard to do all of that without turning this into a 2015 all-in year. And is that the kind of thing you want to do this year?
But I mean, why isn't this the kind of year you want to do that in, right? Like, you only have, and I say this kind of loosely, but like, you only have so many years of Bo and Vlad being cheap and under team control, right? Like, you only have so many years of Alek Manoah even being cheap now, because think about the kind of ticket he's going to need one day. And even guys like, you know, Hernandez, Gurriel, your complimentary pieces that are in their primes, you take advantage of it. I just think if you go into a season where you're, again, top five in World Series odds, a team that a lot of people were picking to get to the World Series, you need to go all in. Like, there's just no way where you can watch things go poorly and be like, ah, next year will be a better year, because you're not going to get a better scenario than this.
Yeah, I agree. I'm team go all in. I'm undoubtedly, I'd be more than fine if they traded every single prospect that isn't currently on the active roster. I couldn't care less. They have, you know, compensatory draft picks from Semien and Ray this year. They're going to have a, you know, a lot of opportunity to draft guys and add prospects to the system. So go ahead and trade everyone. Like now is the time. They're trying to win. They're a win now team. And the reality is, they have more holes than they expected, and you just got to figure out a way to patch those up.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah. Let's get into our ups, because one prospect who is on the big league team, and I shouldn't even call him a prospect because he's been around for a while, but Alejandro Kirk may be this team's best hitter. He is certainly their best hitter right now in the moment. What he's putting together is unbelievable. He is an all-star. He's going to be an all-star, I should say. He deserves to be an all-star. He's probably going to win the Silver Slugger this year for catchers. Am I getting ahead of myself there?
Yeah, I mean, just barring injury or something like that, it's pretty hard to imagine, just given the way Kirk's approach has looked, that he's going to fall off a cliff. I mean, he's walked 29 times, only struck out 23 times. The challenge that he was having at the beginning of the season was that he just wasn't hitting the ball for any power whatsoever, but now he's found that. So long as he keeps going and he's healthy all year, I mean, if he continues at this pace, then he's going to be in the discussion to be getting MVP votes. Yeah, like it'd be insane to see him keep this up, but who knows? Someone has to do it because a lot of their big names haven't been as good as expected. Vladdy hasn't been as good as he was last year. Fair, he was really good last year. Bo Bichette hasn't been as good as he was last year. Matt Chapman hasn't been as good as people expected him to be. So it's nice that someone's stepping up, and Kirk's very clearly been the Jays MVP thus far. I mean, probably co-shares that with Alek Manoah. Those two have been their MVPs.
I liked this tweet from BK. Baseball is such a fun sport. The Blue Jays develop what is considered a generational hitting prospect. Watch him turn in an MVP caliber season at age 22. And a year later, you can argue the 5'8", 270-pound bowling ball they signed for $30,000 out of Mexico is their best hitter. And that's, so I read that tweet and I was like, Kirk right now is putting together a better season than Vladdy is.
Yes.
Maybe, and I didn't want to do the MVP thing, but since you did, I'm right there with you. Like, if he keeps putting up these numbers, like, the dude's batting 321. It's nuts. His OPS is 919. Like, if he keeps up this kind of pace, there are going to be whispers about it. And I don't think it's going to happen, obviously, but, like, you keep putting together series where in game one, he goes 4-for-4, boom, hits a dinger. Game two of that series, he goes 0-for-2, but he walks twice. He finds a way to get on even when he's not getting hits. And in game three of the series, 2-for-4, 3 RBIs. Like, the dude's just a machine right now. He's absolutely rolling for the Jays, and he's without a doubt the biggest up from that series against the Brewers. Also, can I go back and give a down to those Brewers jerseys they wore?
Those sucked.
Those were usually, I love those City Connect ones. Like, the Angels have some great ones. I thought the White Sox have some sweet ones too. But
those Nationals have good ones. Yeah.
Yeah. The Brewers ones need to be fired into the sun. Those are perhaps the worst jerseys in the league.
Yeah, those are whack. It's the same thing with the Red Sox ones too. It just doesn't, I don't get it, what they're going for, what the intense bright color scheme is supposed to be.
Yeah. Anyways, Alek Manoah is our second up. He got the win in game one. He pitched into the seventh inning. He struck out 6 batters. It wasn't like a masterclass of a performance, but it was a solid outing from your staff ace. And you got to give him props for that. He's been in a rotation where there's been no consistency. Alek Manoah is that shining light of consistency.
It's pretty insane. He's come up now and he's made what? It's 34 starts now. So it's the course of a full season. And he's put up what? Like, we're talking this year and last year, he's probably had what? Like 3 bad starts. Like, yeah. This year, his bad starts are, you know, in Cleveland, and he struggles and only goes 5 innings and allows a run or something like that. Or against the Yankees, he allows 4/5. And those are far from bad outings, especially considering what we've seen from all the other guys in the staff this year. Like, it's absolutely
crippling
insane
outings, like we're seeing from some other guys.
Yeah. Just terrible outings. And Manoah, every single time he comes out, it's a solid outing that gives the team a chance to win. It's absolutely bananas to think that, you know, just a little over a year ago, like 15 months ago, we were talking about Alek Manoah coming up midway through 2021 and being an impact bullpen arm. And now he's arguably the best starting pitcher in the American League.
It's wild, man. It really is wild. Like, again, to kind of go back to the BK tweet about how, you know, you think Vladdy's going to be this guy and then Kirk's having a better year than him this year. No one would have predicted that start of the year. Think back to a couple years ago, right? Who's going to be the Jays ace in a few years? Nate Pearson. It's all Nate Pearson, right? Okay, well, this Alek Manoah, and granted, first round pick, right? So it's not like he came out of nowhere, yeah. But when everyone's sitting there being like, it's going to be Pearson's the guy, future Cy Young winner, this guy who runs through the minors in a matter of what did he pitch down there? 27 innings or some shit?
Yeah, like what was it? It was like 4 starts at AAA, and then before that, it was the second half of the season after
just
the draft.
Wild, man. Absolutely wild. The third up we have is Matt Gage, who maybe former Buffalo Bisons closer. can come in here and be a reliable bullpen arm for the Jays. He goes two innings against the Milwaukee Brewers. He strikes out one. He walks one in his last outing. And in his first one, when he only went two thirds of an inning, he walked one, struck out one, didn't give up a run, though. So Matt Gage, maybe a beacon of hope for this bullpen.
Yeah. Sure. There was also a really good story. I think it was in The Athletic where Matt Gage talked about his girlfriend was a top level softball player, and she's in the audience, and he can find her in the audience, and she shows him like what kind of adjustments he has to make in his pitching in game.
Matt Gage is dating Pete Walker.
Yeah. So if Pete Walker can't fix Jose Barrios and Yuke Kikuchi, well, maybe you show him the door and Matt Gage's girlfriend can fix all of the Blue Jays mechanics, because that's a ridiculously cool story. And Matt Gage has been unbelievably good. 0.93 ERA now. Like, they haven't really called up anybody who's been killing it in Buffalo and had them continue to kill it in the big leagues. So it's nice that someone's doing that.
The bullpen gets a lot more effective if Max Casillo and Matt Gage are impact arms and you go add one or two more, right? Like, yeah, if you get a couple of guys from AAA who come up here and are like, hey, we can rely on these guys. I'm not saying Matt Gage is pitching game two of the ALDS when it's a one run game or some shit like that. Like, obviously I'm not going that far, but if for the rest of the regular season, you can be like, all right, in our bullpen, we got Gage and Castillo. And if we need them, we got them. They're reliable. And it's not like you're just rolling the dice on randoms from AAA who you're hoping can give you a few innings here and there. It's like an important little development here if it can keep going.
It is. That's what you see with the teams that do well. The Yankees, the Rays, they just find random guys from their system who pitch well in AAA, and they come up and they make a difference in the big league club. And that hasn't really happened. So ideally they've found that here. That's the hope.
A random little fourth up for us. But do we have a competition for the second base job again?
Yeah, I think the platoon that we all kind of envisioned big picture has kind of come into fruition as Santiago Espinal's cooled off a little bit. Kevin Biggio has suddenly put up an 884 OPS since coming off. Was it the COVID list, the injured list? He kind of disappeared for a month. Yeah, he disappeared for a month, came back, and now he's hitting the best he has been since his rookie year in 2019, which is great. Will he keep it up forever? No, probably not, but he's contributing right now, and that's fantastic. I think just kind of the key thing to note here is that with Espinal and Biggio, you have like a very good platoon between those two players, and there's going to be ups and downs with both, but both will have good stretches, and that's what you need.
That's going to do it for Three Up, Three Down, delivered by our friends over at DoorDash. Coombsy, some other things from around the league. I love a good bench clearing brawl. I love a good bench clearing brawl where a player in a cast is running out to throw punches, which is what Anthony Rendon was doing. And I found that hilarious.
Yeah, that whole situation was super funny. And then there's this really interesting story that comes out afterwards that, so Jesse Winker's in the clubhouse, and then someone orders a pizza to the stadium to go into the visitors like clubhouse, dressing room, whatever. And the DoorDash driver like actually executes it, and he gets it. And the player reaches out to the fan on Instagram and is like, hey, thanks for doing this. That's extremely cool. And then the person who did the order put the like Venmo tipping thing. That's a thing in the States, not a thing for us, on Twitter. And this delivery driver is just getting like insane amounts of cash thrown at him by people on Twitter who are just like charged up from this brawl.
I love the idea of the DoorDash driver not knowing anything about baseball either. Just being like, okay, got to drop off this pizza. Then all of a sudden his Venmo is just like, bang, bang, bang. And he's like, holy, what is going on right now? He has like no idea what Twitter even is. But yeah, it's pretty cool. Shout out to our friends at DoorDash as well. Their drivers will deliver a pizza to your favorite baseball player in the visitors clubhouse. It'll happen. And now we have proof of that.
That was my most, I didn't even think of this, but that was probably my best natural sponsored content I put in the podcast.
Great work, Coombsy. Great work.
Nice. Good for me. I didn't even think about it.
Elsewhere around the AL East, the Yankees had like a real weird series against Houston. I kept getting the little push notifications like Yankees are getting no hit. The Yankees haven't gotten a hit in this many innings. And then you go look yesterday and you're like, oh man, they still beat the Astros.
Yeah, and then they were almost getting no hit again, but then go ahead and pull off a nice big Yankees comeback, which kind of sucks. All in all, they go 2-2 against the Astros. The Astros are kind of establishing themselves as that number two team right now behind the Yankees. They're the team that looks like they can take them down, but One point that I wanted to make, or I guess one question to ask hypothetically, is has a team that's been no hit ever gone on to win the World Series?
Huh.
Yeah. Because I know that if they had been no hit two times in a row, obviously no team has, you know, had that happen to them and then won the World Series. That's obvious. But the one no hitter I'd be interested to see, and I have not Googled this, which I'm sure if you Googled it, there'd be an answer. Or if you asked it on Reddit or Quora, something of that ilk.
Quora?
Quora.
I don't even know what that is, man.
Well, they've gotten rid of Yahoo Answers now, unfortunately. That used to be like a real...
I didn't know people needed a replacement for Yahoo Answers, personally.
Yahoo shut it down.
Okay. So they...
I don't know why they did. That's whack. It was very useful to like find someone who asked your exact same specific question like 10 years earlier and then sift through answers.
So convenient. Elsewhere, the Red Sox swept Cleveland, the Rays swept the Pirates, which is why, as we alluded to off the top, the Jays are now tied for third in the American League East, is how we'll say it.
I wrote down that they're in fourth.
Yeah, but they're technically...
It feels like they're in fourth.
I know
it feels... We should just say they're in fourth.
But they're tied for third.
Okay. Do you think... What spot in the standings do you think they'll be in after this 8-game stretch against Boston and Tampa?
Second, I think, and we'll get to this in a second. I get the Red Sox are playing some great baseball right now. 7 in a row, 8-2 in their last 10. All hot streaks need to come to an end, and the Blue Jays have a strong starting pitching advantage in every game coming up against the Red Sox here. And I think you can, on home field against the Rays, I think you can find a way to snag two of those two. You can take two or three from the Red Sox, and I think they'll jump up in the standings.
Yeah, you have Kevin Gausman, Ross Stripling, and Alek Manoah going. And I think at this stage, that's your ideal three. Oddly enough, I think Manoah is obviously the number one, but oddly enough, I'm probably second most comfortable with Ross Stripling pitching, which is weird. And then Kevin Gausman's going in the first game. He's absolutely crushed the Red Sox this year. He had that amazing start where he almost throws a complete game shutout. That must have been back in April. And he's going up against some guy named Connor Siebold, who I've never heard of.
His name Siebold
sounds like a character that's like a gym leader in a Pokemon game. This is a guy who made one outing at the big league level, went three innings, and he allowed two earned runs. So not a hell of a lot to go off of there. Yeah. But on their AAA team, he's pitched quite well. So it's 11 starts and a 2.09 ERA. So I shouldn't be too condescending about this guy, because big league pitchers going and making us first ever start against the Jays usually tends to go in that pitcher's favor. Ah, unfortunately,
we'll get him this time.
We know that. We'll get him this time. We'll get Connor Siebold this time. And then you have Stripling versus Michael Wacha. Wacha's been shockingly good for the Red Sox. And then it's Nick Pivetta versus Alek Manoah. That's a game you really should win, because the Jays have clubbed Nick Pivetta in the past, and Manoah's Manoah. You got to win his starts.
All right. Shout out to our friends at PointsBet Canada. The Jays, they are favorites tonight with that Gausman versus Siebold start over at PointsBet Canada. So go give it a check out. Maybe play their same game parlay. Maybe Kevin Gausman gets like 5 strikeouts and the Jays cover the run line and everyone's happy tonight. And they get off to a good start in this series here. It'll be an interesting one. This is a big stretch, and a stretch that I know I've thrown around this phrase a little bit, but I hope we look back on this as a little bit of a season defining moment, or one of those stretches where it's like, all right, the Jays found their way at the end of June. They started to put together some momentum in July. They hit their stride at the deadline with a couple of key adds, and the rest of the season is smooth sailing. Because it is pretty wild to sit here and think, like, 3 weeks from now, we're going to be at the All-Star game, or going to be, you know, at that point in the season at the All-Star game. Me and you will not literally be at Dodger Stadium for that, which is too bad.
That's too bad. Where'd you go?
And then you're a month away from the deadline already. Like, you're getting there. The season's going fairly quickly, and for the Jays, you need to start stringing together some positive momentum, and there's no better time to do that than this 8-game stretch here. It's huge. It's imperative. It's season defining.
It could be a season defining stretch if they go 8-0. Wow. They will be the talk of the town. Everybody will be saying the Blue Jays are the team to beat. But if they go 0-8, we won't even record an episode. We'll give up.
Okay, sounds good. That's going to do it, episode 90. Hopefully there's episodes 91 and 92. Enjoy the ball games.
Best wishes.
Thanks for tuning in to Blue Jays Nation Radio, a member of the Nation Network of podcasts and delivered by DoorDash. Don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.